want to read a story from the Word of God. This is recorded in the book of Mark. It's recorded in the book of Luke. Now I'll be reading from Luke, the 8th chapter. We'll begin, I believe, with verse 42, Luke chapter 8. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" When everyone denied, Peter said to him, "Master, the multitude throng thee, and the people push against thee, and you say, who touched me?" And the master said, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. For I perceive that power, virtue, is gone forth from me. Somebody touched me. Now, my friend, I want this sermon that I'm going to preach today, I want it to be a special blessing to you. I've prepared this sermon for myself and for you. It's not just another sermon. God help us not to get into a rut of just preaching sermons and you hearing sermons and really not hearing them at all. But let's pray that we might have a good word from God. Wouldn't that be something? When is a sermon a blessing? Have you ever thought about that? When is a sermon a blessing? Well, I believe there are five marks of a sermon that is a blessing. Number one, it's got to come from the messenger's heart to the hearer's heart. Now, that has got to be so if the sermon's going to be a blessing. And I'll tell you this, this message truly, sincerely, comes from my heart to your heart. I can identify with this woman. And I hope you can. And then secondly, when is a message a blessing? When it's obviously true to the Word of God. And this story I've read to you, I read directly from the Word of God. I'm going to be preaching, "Thus saith the Lord." So a message will be a blessing when it's obviously true to the Scriptures. And then thirdly, when that message is heard. Now somebody says, "Well, I heard this preacher." Did you really hear him? Did you really listen with interest? Did you understand what he's saying? I'm going to make this as plain as I can make it, and I trust as interesting as I can. Actually, all Scripture ought to be interesting to us. Do we find God's Word uninteresting? This is interesting. Our Lord said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Well, gracious, there's a multitude around you. Everybody's pressing you." You say, "Who touched me?" He said, "Somebody did. Somebody touched me. I perceive power's gone out of me. I'm interested in what's going on here." And then fourthly, when the message meets a particular need of both messenger and hearer. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm trying to together search the Scriptures and find the way of redemption. Let's see if we can find the way of life. This word meets our need, for we're in need of mercy just like this woman. We're in need of grace. Mercy. Grace to help in time of need. Mercy to help in time of need. And I'll tell you when a sermon is a blessing. In the fifth place, when it leaves the hearer rejoicing in the Lord. Not in himself, but in the Lord. When it leaves him rejoicing in the Lord and determined to seek God's mercy. Now that message is a blessing. It's not a blessing if it only serves to harden men in their positions and in their prejudice and in their pride and in their vain philosophy. But now here's a woman who had been ill, seriously ill, for 12 long years. And she'd spent everything she had. Evidently she had some savings. Evidently she had an income. Evidently she had something. But she'd spent everything she had on recommended cures, on physicians and doctors, and she wasn't one bit better. In fact, she only grew worse, slowly, slowly dying. Mark says she heard of Christ. She heard of Christ. And she said, "If I can get to him, and if I can touch even his garment, I'll be made whole." Well, she heard that Christ was in this particular place at a particular time, and this woman who was so seriously ill, the very life bleeding from her, she came behind him and evidently crawling on the ground. She made her way to Christ and reached out and touched him. The scripture says the border or hem of his garment, and just like that, immediately, her blood flow stopped and she was made well. And our master stopped, and he said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Well, Lord, everybody's brushed up against you and thronged and pressed you, and you ask, who touched me?" He said, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. No name. She never is named. Did you notice that? We never find out who this is. Nobody ever knows who this is. We can't even speculate. No name, no distinction. That's all that's said about her. That's what she's called, a somebody. Just a somebody. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. And power and virtue and healing went forth from me. I tell you this, I know this to be true. I don't have a doubt about this. The Lord God Almighty is going to show mercy to somebody just like he did to that somebody. That's right. He said, "I will be merciful." God will, he will be just, he will be righteous, he will be holy, but thank God, he will be merciful. He's going to show mercy to somebody because he's plenteous in mercy and because he delights to show mercy. He's going to be merciful to somebody. I want to be that somebody. Do you? I want to be that somebody. Tell you something else. He came into the world to save somebody. That's right. Jesus Christ did not come in vain. He shall not fail. He has a people. I'm going to tell you something. Heaven will be populated with a people just like Christ. Somebody's going to glory. Somebody's going to hear the trumpet, and somebody's going to rise, and somebody's going to see his blessed face, and somebody's going to be made like him, and somebody's going to be a joint heir with him. I want to be that somebody. Somebody touched me. Somebody. No name, no distinction. No special influence, just somebody. And I'll tell you this, the Holy Spirit is going to regenerate and call somebody. His mission in this world is to call out a people for God's name, and he's going to do it. He's going to call them out. Somebody's going to be raised from the grave. Somebody is going to ascend to life eternal. Somebody is going to be made like Christ. Somebody is going to enjoy heaven's glory. Somebody. I want to be that somebody. I feel like the Apostle Paul who said, "Oh, that I may win Christ." Let's don't get so taken up with world vision and world missions and world this, that, and the other that we neglect our own vineyard. I want to win Christ and be found in him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. The Apostle Paul was no selfish man. He was a man who had compassion upon the multitude and a burden for sinners, but he said, "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." That's what this woman said. If I can just get to Christ, I'll be made whole. I want you to look at this story again. Maybe, God will do for us today what he did for Mrs. Somebody. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be something? This somebody came to Christ a cripple and walked away made whole. This somebody came to Christ diseased and dying and went away living and pure. This somebody came to Christ unclean and went away righteous in him. Somebody touched me. All right, let's look at the story. About three or four things. First of all, I know this. This somebody had been sick a long time. 12 years, it says. 12 years. Now, that's a long time to be sick. That's a long time to be sick, isn't it? But let me tell you something. You and I have been sick a lot longer than that. We've been sick a lot long. Our sickness is older than hers. Hers was only a physical illness. Ours is a spiritual illness. That's right. We were born sick. I know this is offensive. I know many people don't like it. I know many preachers don't preach it. But the Word of God declares this. Now, you listen to me. I'll tell you the truth. This somebody had been sick a long time, and this somebody has been a sinner a long time. It says in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin. My mother conceived me." Born in sin? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Born in sin. Sin is not just an act, it's a principle. Sin is not just an action, it's a nature. And we're born with that nature. You don't have to teach children to be selfish. You don't have to teach them to hate. You don't have to teach them to steal. You don't have to teach them any of these things. They're born knowing these things. They're born with this desire and this inclination within them. That's what it says in Psalm 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born. As soon as they're born, speaking lies. But now, wait a minute. Like one old preacher used to say, get a hold of the beach there, we're going to jump a creek. Our sickness goes back further than that. You mean further back than my birth? That's right. Mankind's sickness goes back further than our birth. We're born from a race that was already fallen when we were born. And it goes back even further than our birth, for it says in Adam, we all died. That's what it says in Adam. By one man's disobedience, Romans 5:12, by one man's disobedience, our father Adam, our representative, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all sinned. When Adam sinned, death, disease, sin passed upon all men. Sin and death is a disease of all men. That's what Scripture teaches. It's not just an outward deformity. It's an inward principle of evil. We have a principle of evil. We don't love our neighbors ourselves. We don't love God with all our hearts. We love ourselves. We're selfish, sinful, corrupt. That's right. Our motives are evil. It's an inward corruption. We are flesh. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We're guilty. What the law saith, it saith to everyone under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty. Guilty before God. This somebody here had been sick 12 years. We've been sick a lot longer than that. Our disease goes back to our birth. Our disease goes all the way back to our fallen Adam. And my friend, listen to me. I'm going to tell you the truth. I cannot convince you of sin. Now, it'd be easy for me to convince you of certain things that you've done that are evil. That wouldn't be a problem at all. But I can't convince you of the source of your evil, of the root of your evil. I cannot convince you why you did these things, why it's so much easier to do wrong than right, why it's so much easier to hate than to love, why it's so much easier to sin than it is to live holy. I can't convince you of that. Only God can do it, the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you what the Word says. It's the principle, the nature of sin that's born within us. That's the root. That's the source. And that's what God sees. God does not look on the outward countenance. He looks on the heart. Keep your heart out of it of the issues of life. It's not what goes in a man's mouth that defiles him. That's what most preachers would have you believe. They would have you believe if you clean up the outward man that everything's all right. But the Scripture doesn't say that. The Scripture says you can clean up the outside and the inside still be like a grave full of dead men's bones. You can clean up the outside of the cup and the inside be full of corruption and excess. Cleanse first that which is within, and only God can do that, and God will only do that when we recognize it and own it, confess it, and ask for mercy. That's where the problem is. David said, my sins are ever before me. Job said, I hate myself. Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. So this somebody had been sick a long time, and this somebody, and that somebody I'm talking to, has a sickness that sometimes we don't even know about. It's inside. It's in the heart. It's in the bones. It's in the bowels. It's in the nature. It's in the innermost being. And it's a rottenness and an evil and a corruption that was born there. And that's what God sees, and that's what God has to deal with. And that all of our outward actions are affected by that awful, evil person we are within. Got problems? Somebody has problems. All right, this somebody could find no cure. This somebody looked everywhere. She spent everything she had. She went here, she went there, she tried everything anybody told her to try, and she couldn't find a cure. Just couldn't find a cure. And I'm telling you this, that evil of sin, that disease with which we're born, that we inherited from our daddy Adam, it's incurable by human works. It's incurable by human effort. It's incurable by human deeds. Now, you may look to yourself and look to others for relief, just like this somebody did. But you look in vain. The law can't heal you. God says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. The works of religion can't heal you, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. Actually, our righteousnesses, our works of religion in God's sight, are filthy rags because they're imperfect. God can't. Now, we can accept deeds and words and acts that are imperfect because we're imperfect. But God can't accept anything that's unlike him. It's got to be perfect. And whatever we bring to God, praise, prayer, gifts, whatever, it's imperfect. And God's got to refuse it. It's coming short of the glory of God. And the works of religion can't help us. And the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, these things can't cure this inward disease. Water can wash my skin, but not my heart. Not my heart. And I may put the bread and wine in my mouth, and it goes into my stomach and out my bowels, and it doesn't touch my nature. I've got to have something that reaches deeper. I've got to have something that goes deeper than the stain has gone, deeper than the infection. The preacher can't do it, and the priest can't do it. No use going to him. He can't do anything about his own sins. Can't do anything about his own nature. And then no dead saint can do it. I was talking to a man recently down in Tennessee, I said, do you believe in Christ? He said, yeah, I believe in St. Joe, too. I said, who's St. Joe? He said, you know, St. Joseph, St. Jude, St. Luke. I said, they can't help you. They're dead. Christ lives. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This somebody been sick so long, she looked everywhere. Nobody could help her. Just worse and worse and worse. Well, finally, listen. This somebody heard of Jesus Christ. She heard. The scripture, Mark recorded this in Mark 5:27, and he said, when she heard of Jesus, she came. When she heard of Jesus, tell me the story of Jesus. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not promoting a school or promoting an organization or promoting a hospital or promoting anything else. I'm trying to promote the gospel of the Son of God. I hear all these preachers talking about the gospel and hardly any of them preaching the gospel. They're spending their time raising money to preach the gospel, which they never preach. This woman heard of Christ, and people are not going to hear of Christ till we start telling them about Christ, preaching Christ. She would never have come to Christ, believed on Christ, called upon Christ, or touched Christ if she hadn't heard of him. You can't believe on him of whom you haven't heard. And you can't call on him in whom you haven't believed. Somebody, this somebody, heard of Christ. Somebody told this somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. His power, his grace, his glory, his goodness. They told her about Christ. And she heard. Have you heard? Have you heard the story of Jesus? Have you heard the story? Tell me the story, most precious, sweetest, that ever was heard. Oh, how important is the preaching of the gospel. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth. Please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Christ said to his disciples, go and preach the gospel to every creature. In whom you trusted, Paul said, after you heard the gospel of your salvation. That gospel of God's grace and glory and that gospel concerning his son. Somebody heard of Christ. And what'd she do fourthly? This somebody came to him. Now you listen to me. I'm getting at the heart of this thing now. Mark said when she heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind him and touched his garment. She heard of Christ and she came to him. She didn't come to his apostles, all dressed up in uniforms of religion. She didn't come to his manger, and buy some of the hay. She didn't come to his mother. She didn't come to his doctrines. She didn't come to his church. She didn't come to his law. Can't you just see her touching the law? The commandments, those tables of stone that Moses brought down from the mountain. She goes over and touches them. Kill her instead of curing her. She didn't come to the front of the church. She didn't come to the River Jordan. She came to him. You see what I'm saying? And this is the thing that frightens me about today's religion. Scares me to death. Men are coming for salvation to everything and everybody but Jesus Christ. And he's the fountain of life. He's the source of mercy. He's the living Lord. He's the Redeemer of his people. She heard. And she didn't go to a soul winner or to the manger or to his mother. She came to him. She said, if I can touch him, I'll be made whole. People today are flocking to the front and shaking hands. Now, what did you accomplish by that? And people come to organizations, altars, and ordinances. They come dry and go away wet. They come to decisions and doctrines and creeds. They come to buildings and rallies and holy days and holidays. Oh, if they could just see that salvation's in a person. He said, come unto me. He couldn't make it plainer if words mean anything. Come to the front and I'll give you rest. No, he said, come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He stood that last day of the feast, that great day, and he said, hey, wait a minute. Behold, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Don't you stop short of Christ, because he's the fountain of life. He's the all that my Father giveth me, he said, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. But the Son will have to do it because he's our prophet to reveal God. He's our priest to offer that perfect, effectual sacrifice. And he's our king to reign over us. And he is our righteousness to cover our nakedness. And he is our sanctification to present us holy before God. And he is our great mediator to pray for us. And you must come to him. My friend, don't allow a man or a plan. Don't allow a creed or a ceremony to substitute for Jesus Christ. Now, here in closing, the fifth thing. This somebody had been sick a long time. And this somebody has been a sinner a long time. And this somebody heard of Christ. She heard of Christ. When she could find no relief and no help from no other source, she heard of Christ. And she said, if I can get to him and touch him, I'll be made whole. And my friend, she came to Christ. She came to Christ. Now, don't miss that. That's the vital part of this message. And it's the thing that frightens me about all religion, fundamentalism, denominationalism, evangelism today, Hollywood-style evangelism, when people are flocking to the front of the churches and making decisions and making professions and counting noses and counting baptism and reporting great success. Did you come to Christ? Or did you come to a person? A man. Did you come to Christ or did you come to a mourner's bench? Or did you come to an altar? Or did you come to an ordinance? Did you come? This woman got to Christ. And listen, it says, and she touched him. She touched him. And immediately she was made whole. And Christ stopped. And he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, well, Lord, there's a big crowd of people here and they're all pressing against you and thronging about you. And you ask, who touched you? He says, somebody, somebody, oh, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. What made her touch different? Have you thought about that? What made her touch different from the others? Why did the master take note of her touch? Now, the disciples were telling the truth. Many people had brushed against him and shoved him and clamored about him. But somebody touched me. You want me to tell you the difference? And it's the difference that saves. First of all, her touch was a touch of faith. Those other people were there out of curiosity. She was there because she believed. They were there to see the show. They were there to be fed. They were there to be healed. They were there to receive alms. They were there to get a free handout. They were there to get a meal. They were there to get the health and wealth, you know. Empty your pocketbook, God will fill it. They were there to get some kind of something else. This woman believed him. She believed him. And our Lord said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. She believed. Hers was a touch of faith. I'll tell you something else. Hers was a touch of need. She needed him. She needed it. She needed him. She was helpless and hopeless and without strength. She needed him. And when she touched him out of that desperate need, he said power went out of him into her. And I'll tell you something else. Hers was a touch of submission. All else had failed. He was her only hope, and she knew it. And she came to him in total submission. She said, he is my only hope. He is my all. He is my objective. I must get to Christ. If I can touch him, I'll be made whole. I tell you this, in desperation, in sincerity, in need, with faith, if you can lay hold on Christ, if you can call upon him out of your weakness, call upon his strength. Out of your sin, call upon his holiness. Out of your helplessness, call on his ability. You'll be made whole. My hope, my friend, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he is my only hope and stay. And when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I, somebody, in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless, in Christ, to stand before his throne.